ask in the verse. So you find in the first church age messenger, the Apostle Paul absolutely demonstrated the very character of the Lord Jesus Christ in his lifetime. Not only that, he also demonstrated the word. This word that he spoke to the people was the very word that God wants to speak to them. And he opened up the very heavens and brought forth the manna from heaven and spoke with authority. And then comes after his departure, in the second church age, we find Irenaeus. Now if you want to know about these men, please go to internet. Type the names in the Google and you have a whole list of what they have done in their lifetime. Even in Irenaeus is a man under the anointing of God who stood for nothing but the word. He stood for this. And he stood against the every organized falsehood contrary to the word of God. And because of that, we find that God honored this man. And he himself, like Jesus, like Paul, was able to raise the dead. He was able to cast out demons. He was able to do mighty, wonderful things through his ministry. Not only his ministry, his life, I explained to you one day. His life and the lifestyle matches the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last Sunday I spoke to you on the third church age and the life of St. Martin. And even this man, this St. Martin, also man who stood for the word. You remember I explained to you at the very beginning, when God chose a messenger to each church age, the benchmark was Apostle Paul. And the lifestyle of Apostle Paul, that was a standard for all the messengers that came forth. And if you look at St. Martin, St. Martin was such an awesome character. He was at the height of such a strong, powerful Roman Empire who just embraced the Christianity under Constantine. And thereafter, various emperors came, and this man has to stand against the authority and the power. And as I told you, he also was able to go before the emperor, the mighty emperor, and demonstrate the power of God in front of him. Not only that, he was also a man who raised the dead. There were three distinguished miracles this man performed under the power of God by raising three men from the dead. Once when the people were going on a funeral procession, crying dead man was being taken on the procession. Whereas Martin walked before and cried in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ where the dead man rose. It's very pronounced, very specific miracle. Not only that, Martin displayed the fruits of his life by virtue of his character. Today we are going to go into the fourth church age and explain another character. But before that, we have left over from the last church age. But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, while the dark side taking place very pronouncedly, we find the element of people who stood for the word of God, who understand the word of God, who had the revelation of the word of God, who was able to display the power of God in their life and through their ministry. And today, sadly, we don't find people who can raise the dead, people who can demonstrate the mighty power of God, the people who can call fire from heaven. Just tell you what God can do for you. I must tell you an experience which I had, just to encourage your faith. It's an actual experience where God still can demonstrate His power. In the year 2000, I was in the bank, I had to organize a function. Our bank was a sponsor of the Dubai Shopping Festival, and the bank sponsored the Sri Lankan Pavilion. I was in charge of that whole program. And it was a very big function. A large number of Sri Lankans and all nationalities come for this shopping festival. And our pavilion consists of different shops. About 32 Sri Lankan companies had shops. And one shop was rented by the Satusar and for about 32,000. And to open this shopping festival, for his participate, as you know, the government ministers always looking for various activities in other countries to visit. So the minister in charge of cooperative society, Reggie Ranatunga, came with his team to Dubai. And on the day of opening this festival, then we decided to have a small ceremony in the Sri Lankan pavilion with all the council and the ambassadors. The Dubai authorities gave me 15 minutes for that function because we were to start at about 5:40. But 6 o'clock prayer times, as you know, in Dubai, you have to shut everything. And about 5,000 Sri Lankans were gathered there. And when we were about to light the oil lamp, that was the only function, and then the Reggie Ranatunga was also there. I heard him speaking to the ambassador. So the ambassador turned to me and said, "Chandula, this man wants to give a speech here." I told him, "Sir, you know, we are almost 10 minutes to 5. We have just finished about so many people to light the oil lamp, and there will be authorities will not permit us to give speeches in this place without permission." Then he told back to the minister. He said, "No, he won't speak." And again ambassador spoke to him. I said, "It cannot be done. I'm holding the responsibility. I don't care who he is. It's not possible." So I told the compeer, who was a bank employee, to carry on with announcing the names, and closed everything. So he did everything, and we didn't permit him to speak. And what happened was, function was over. I went back to the office. We had office in the pavilion. Reggie Ranatunga has come with he was a full powerful minister. He came with a team of 12 people and bodyguards, everybody. He walked into my room, my office, and he said, "Tamusiva mama Kolambadi balagani." That's in other words, I will deal with you in Colombo. He came to me and raised his finger like this. "Tamusiva itande parama loku wadak karai kiyala. Don't think that you did a big thing. Tamusiva mama Kolambadi balagani." I was to travel back to Colombo in a week's time. The following day, Reggie Ranatunga was to fly to Colombo. And then, before he was coming here, I just left it to the hands of God. My staff was frightened. Everybody, all the soldiers were frightened. He said, "This guy is a thug. I mean, he will do a lot of damage to you and your family. Be careful." Everybody in the pavilion was worried about me. But I left it to the Lord. And when he was to come on the 2nd of April to Colombo, previous day, his two sons, the famous cricketer Arjuna and his brother, has gone and hammered a child in one of the schools in Maradana. And there is so much so, the children were admitted, and there was so much of chaotic situation. Finally, all the neighbors took even the shit and all the cow dung and hammered the house. And when Reggie Ranatunga came to the airport, the entire Colombo was on fire. All over the world, the news went, what deeds of these cricketers. It's so much so, he has to run away from the airport straight to Gampa and hide because so much was pressure on this matter. Secondly, soon after that, there was a commotion in the country under President Chandrika, and she entered into some agreement with JVP, and they said to reduce the minister to 30-30, and the Reggie Ranatunga lost the ministership to a deputy minister. And two months later, he went for parliamentary election, and Ranjit Rantungal lost the electorate. And he was not only lost the electorate, during the campaign he had hit a person, and that person had died, and he was running for his life. And he was running and hiding in some other place. Thereafter, we never heard of him, even in a political era. He is lost forever. That's what God does when anybody raises a finger against the servants of God. And if God has done it in the lives of us, it can be done for anybody. This is one example. I had many examples. People who stood against the servants of God. God opens the fire from heaven and he ministers. But as brother said, the battle is his, victory is us. It is not only for anybody. God doesn't care for anybody. As long as his children can stand for his word, and God can demonstrate by many virtues. It doesn't matter, it could be presidents. The Bible says he bring down the governments. He throw out the kings. He throw out the presidents for the sake of God. Because he said, touch not my anointed. Do my prophet no harm. And that's the power that is available to his children. Therefore, lead that. I want to tell you, God's power is available to you and me. It is not a faraway thing. It is not galaxies far away. It is right here we can experience. Even in our midst, you bring dead people, God will raise them. You bring people with so many sicknesses, God will touch them and heal them. It's possible. The power of God is available. It is not because God cannot do things. It is because we are not able to come close to Him with the revelation of His Word. Let's pray for His Word. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray this evening, as you begin to open thy word, and I ask you, Lord, this very moment, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would, Father, open the windows of heaven and bring forth the revelation to be thy children, Lord, that they would understand it. In Jesus' name. Amen. We go back to continue our message. In the third message, and I explained to many things. You remember the parable in this church age, the parable of the mustard seed. It grows up to be a very beautiful tree, and then the birds of the air comes, and they land themselves in that. And as they land themselves, they make that tree inhabitable only for them. And the birds change the color of the tree. Birds change the fragrance of the tree. Bird occupy it and make a more noisy, different noises in the tree. So remember, it is in the third church, this so-called Christian church now becomes no longer a genuine tree which God planted for his purpose, but a tree inhabited by various creatures with a definite agendas and programs. Therefore, God has to speak to this message and tell some important things. That's why we find in the Revelation 2:14-15, he said here, I have 5 things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat the things sacrificed unto idols and commit fornication. You remember the Pergamos was a city full of paganism, full of pagan religions. Gods and goddesses in rampant worship there. So what happens is God says now, this very church, they have done the same thing which Balaam, who taught Balak, I will explain to you who these characters are, got Israel to eat the things sacrificed unto idols, and commit fornication. And also he says, thou hast this, thou hold the doctrines which I hate. Now you remember, in the second church age, even in the first church age, it was the deeds of the Nicolaitans. It was the deeds of the Nicolaitans. You conquer the laity. But now the deeds of the Nicolaitans have become a doctrine of Nicolaitans. It becomes a doctrine. Deeds have become a doctrine. When it comes to the fourth, third age, Lord Jesus Christ, with a two-edged sword, was again separating the truth from error and light from darkness. You know, the two-edged sword will separate. It cuts asunder. So God always separates life from the truth, the light from darkness. The beginning with creation in Genesis, the Lord divided the light from darkness, and all the way through seven church ages, He is separating light from darkness. You find Him all through the church ages, separating the light from the darkness. Bible shows that God is a separator, not a mixer. Satan is the one who mixes. You remember from Eden, he started mixing and it continues. That's why in the Christianity you find that all acharus and fruit salad mixing and people are eating all funny things. Through spiritual weakness and blindness and fear of rejection by people, modern day church allowing devil to mix everything. He's mixing very nicely all these things. It started way back in the early church ages. For such are the false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves. Now Paul and all the first church recognize this. They recognize these false apostles, the deceitful workers, transforming themselves to be the apostle of Christ. They are transferred themselves to apostle of Christ. And then he says, and marvel not, for Satan himself is transformed into angel of light. This is a warning. In the Pergamos, the Lord denounces the two doctrines which he hate. The two doctrines which he hate. The doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of Nicolaitans. Now these have become doctrines in this church age. Balaam is an Old Testament character with a now famous reputation being a false prophet. He was a prophet, but he was a false prophet. He is known as a hireling prophet because he was hired. You see, today a lot of people can be hired. A lot of religious people can be hired. You pay them and they will do anything for you. Money is the carrot. So he was a hireling. He was hired by, he could be hired. Now he was hired by Balak, a king of Moabites. Moabites represent the worldly people. Cause Israel, who were encamped in a desert. Now, you know, Israel came, passing through that place. They got scared of this Israel people. So the king Moabites, Balak, the king of Moabites, hired Balak, who was a prophet, who was a false prophet, who was a hireling. For personal gain and popularity, Balaam was more than willing to compromise with the worldly Moab. You find today, even a lot of people today, for worldly popularity and a personal gain, more than willing to compromise the world. We find it in the midst of even in our country, how many of us are compromising the world for personal gain and popularity and for money. You can, there are servants you can find for anywhere who will go along, who are not willing to challenge people, who are not willing to stand for the truth. They are hirelings. Balaam attempted three times. You remember in the Old Testament, these scriptures, Balaam attempted three times to curse Israel because he was hired. Balak promised him many things and he was hired by him to curse the Israel. So three times he attempted to curse. And every time he opened his mouth, God planted some other words, so he had to bless them. Every time he opened mouth to curse, God got him to bless the people. And Balak was very upset. And finally Balaam came with an idea. When this didn't work, he came with an idea to undermine the faith of Israel. He would deceive them into voluntarily corrupting and defiling their separation unto the Lord. He came with a very subtle idea. He said, this won't work. Every time I open my mouth, Lord gives separate words and I bless them. So Balaam counseled with Balak to invite Israel to worship and feast with them. These are the scriptures, Numbers 31:16, Deuteronomy 23:4, Numbers 25. To entice them into intermingling and intermarry with Moabites. He suggested Balak, look, this won't work. Every time I open my mouth, God gives some other words, I bless them. But there is an idea, what you can do is, without trying to do this, you invite these people for your feast and your programs, and then get your children to marry their children. Give your daughters to them, take your sons and give it to them,
that kind of way, there can be something that can happen. So Balaam came up with that suggestion, gave it to Balak, and he put that, and as a result of this, you find children of Israel mixing with Moabites. That was the beginning of them participating in the fornication, in the participating with idol worship and all these corrupt things. Like Israel, church was called to be separated unto the Lord, commanded to have no fellowship with unfruitful workers, works of darkness and belief. But in this Pergamos age, false prophets began to entice many Christians to accept intermarrying with pagan and pagan religion. You remember in the Noah's time, in the Genesis chapter 6, the sons of daughters married the sons of men. Canaanites and Shethites mixed together. Then finally they lost the revelation. And that's why it happened to here when the Israelites mixed with Moabites, and when they gave their daughters to Moabite sons, when they took the Moabite daughters, their sons, they brought their religion, their things, like the birds of the air came into the mustard seed, landed and started corrupting. So the nation of Israel was corrupted by the Moabite teachings, Moabite worship, Moabite idolatry. In the same way, the true church was also corrupted by the false and pagan beliefs, rituals, festivals. Idolatry was brought into the church in the form of false doctrine of Godhead, Trinity, a false water baptism, infant baptism, worship of dead saints. Now all this, remember, all these things are part of the false paganism. Paganism had these things. As I told you, I will explain to you next Sunday and bring some visuals. In Hinduism, there is a Hindu Trinity. In every religion, there is a Trinity. And that's come from Babylonian. False rituals, deeds, and things began to be part and parcel of the church. As a result of that, you remember the mustard tree, it lost its color, the fragrance, and also there's the different birds are talking different things. The parrots, the crows, all these fellows, they are making their utterings absolute confusion, and the mustard tree lost its majestic glory. And that's the very reason here, you remember in the book of Revelation, God says, come out of her. Come out of where? Come out of the false church. My people, be not partakers of her sin. Come out. He is very specifically telling in the book of Revelation. He said, come out of her. My people, be not partakers of her sins, that ye may not receive not her plagues. All these are plagues. Plagues are things, patas it comes. You know, when a plague comes, you know, just you inhale it, you get it. And he says, be not yoked, unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship with the righteous, with the unrighteousness? What communion hath the light with darkness? As I told you, he is a two-edged sword. He separates the light from darkness. And you find that taking place in the Pergamos church age. This is the doctrine of Balaam. In this age, a firm foundation was laid for a papal rule and a marriage of church and state. It is in the church, third church age, when Constantine, the emperor of Rome, became a Christian. He officiated Christianity as a state religion of the Roman Empire. And then he began to give power to the Bishop of Rome. This Bishop of Rome finally ended up as a Pope of Rome. Initially he was the Bishop of Rome, and more the power was translated. You remember, the whole Roman Empire was ruling the whole world, but in the last stages of Roman Empire, it was collapsing, it was turning apart, it was turning apart to different groups, political, geographically. And what happens is, when the Roman Empire was collapsing, the Holy Roman Empire was rising. When I am going to speak to you about the seven seals, I will explain to you about these empires. There were four major empires in this world, first starting with the Babylonian Empire. And then you start the Grecian, Medo-Persian Empire. Second was the Medo-Persian Empire. Third was the Grecian Empire. And the fourth was the Roman Empire. And this Roman Empire gave away to the fifth, which is also a Roman Empire, which is called the Holy Roman Empire, which begins to rule the world in the fourth church age, which we'll explain to you. Now they influence all areas of denominational, interdenominational, non-denominational nation Christianity and many good leaders and governors. Those who knowing the error of it, but still partook of these things, were guilty of spiritual fornication. When you know the truth, there's a group of believers under Martin who stood for the word. And then God confirmed the word with signs and wonders. And the other people, he said, those who knowing the error of it, but still partook of these things, were guilty of spiritual fornication. Lord, command this age to be repent. Repent, or else I will come quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Fight with whom? Fight for the people who are in the falsehood. Unless they repent, there is going to be a separation. Command to this age is echo of given to the previous two ages. Repent. Acknowledge error of doctrine of Balaam and Nicolaitans. Be sorry for these sins and come back to the true revelation of the word. The failure on the part of the church to repent would reap judgment of God. He said that he would fight against them with the sword of mouth. The sword is his eternal word. He had in his right hand the seven stars, and out of his mouth went sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was counter as the sun shineth in his strength. And out of his mouth goeth sharp sword, that which should smite the nations and shall rule the world with a rod. You see, God always warns his people to stand by his word. God is not respecter of persons. When God told Moses, speak to the rock, Moses, in his anger, he hit the rock with a rod. And God judged him and said, Moses, you are not going to enter the promised land because of disobedience to my word. If God judged Moses, who was a man who was able to speak to him face to face, who are we? And that's why God does not compromise his word. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, not my word. Not an iota of his word will pass because he is in his word. And therefore, his word is a two-edged. It cuts light from darkness, truth from lying, and is separate from righteous from the unrighteous. Time after time, Israel drifted from serving one true God and chose to what was right in their own eyes. You remember, children of Israel, I don't think any nation in this world has gone through the tragic trauma like them. In this world, the Jews have gone through unimaginable tribulations in the last thousands of years. From the land of Egypt, even up to now, you remember in our time, in this century, it is Hitler who put them into 12 million of youths into gas chambers. And also many tribulations they have to go. But they are chosen people. They are a people who love by God. There are people God says, upon the eagle's wing are you brought them out of the land of Egypt. And he said, I love them with an everlasting love. But yet he judged them. He rebuked them. He chastised them. He put them into their place. He scattered them all over the world because they went against their word. They went against the word of the Lord. Therefore there was judgment. So was even a man of God. Even David, who was a man after God's own heart, when he sent Nathan and said, this is what you've done, and he has to pay the consequences. So time after time, God sent his prophet messengers with a message to call them back into the straight and narrow way. Call them back to the word. Time after time, the church drifted from serving one true God according to his word. and chose to do what the religious writes in their own minds. You find the time after time church drifting away from the word of God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh I will give to eat the hidden manna. Now this is the message. In the third age, the message to the church age Christians are, he said, he that hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh all the falsehood, all the lie, all the untruth, all the unrighteousness, all the paganism, he said, I will give to eat the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and a stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth. Let's see what God gives to this church age, which comes down to all of us in our times as well. In Revelation 2:17, manna represents the food. It represents spiritual food, the word of God in which Christians feed. Natural food gives strength to the natural body. Even so, spiritual food gives faith and strength to the soul. As in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. We are what we eat. We are what we eat. You know, we eat wrong things, you become like wrong. And that's why Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. Spiritually, we live by the word. And we think of manna, we think of that which Lord supernaturally gave to the Israelites in the wilderness. You remember, children of Israel in the wilderness without food, and they cried, God open the heavens and given the heavenly food, manna. But that manna was not hidden, it was open, it was available. Every morning people could look at and find that. It was not a hidden manna, it was a manna that is available. Every morning children of Israel go out to the field and see the manna has fallen, they take and they collect and they eat. So it was not hidden manna. But the hidden manna spoken here in this age is a hidden manna. This indicates that not all have access to it. Hidden manna, not everybody has access to it or given to the right to partake of it. Hidden manna is what is reserved only for predestinated seed. There is a hidden manna which is preserved and reserved for the predestinated seed of God. Moses commanded Aaron, the high priest, to take some original manna, place it in a golden pot, lay it in the presence of the Shekinah glory and the most holy place in the tabernacle, the children of Israel. It was hidden manna. Golden pot always, when gold is covering an ark or a pot, it represents the glory of God. It represents the glory and the natural glory of God that was displayed. So it is an indication, when this manna was collected and it was hidden in this golden pot, it was only for the high priest to go. The high priest alone had access to this manna. For only the high priest with the blood of the lamb could enter into the most holy place. High priest of every generation could enter and take a small portion of manna which was hidden in behind the veil. You find the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant is there, inside the Ark, in the golden pot, the manna. Now this is a prophetically, it is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Covered, gold represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Inside that is the word, the hidden word, the manna, because he was the word made flesh. To the true church, hidden manna is the revelation of Jesus Christ to her. Jesus Christ has to be revealed. He is yet not revealed to many people. They know him as one third of God. But Jesus Christ has to be revealed. The revelation, book of Revelation starts with the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why it is hidden to some people. Once the elected and predestined seed of every age, given the right to feed on the revelation of the word of God for their day and age. Most professing Christians are content with the church diet, creeds and dogmas and formalism. It is neither fresh nor pure. You remember this word here? Where there are the carcasses, where there are the bodies, there the eagles are, the fresh food. Freshly killed meat, where that is, there where there the eagles are. But whereas the creeds, dogmas, formalism, it is neither fresh nor pure. The true eagles always go for the fresh. But the spiritual seed of God wants fresh, pure word from God, from the messenger of the age. That is why God raised a messenger to each age with a message, with a fresh manner, with a hidden manner, and presented to those people the truth, not the lie, the truth. The original word, the revelation, was presented because it was given to the seed of God. The true believers, genuine sons and daughters, having been made through the new birth, and they become a kings and priests unto God. It is through the new birth they become the kings and priests, so they have access to very presence of God. Like Aaron, most holy place in Christ, in manner and spiritual revelation of the word of God found in him. You see, as I explained to you many things, as I'm telling you about the image of God, the worship, you remember the original sin, the salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of these things are hidden manner now bring forth to the genuine true seed. Otherwise you believe in something else, the apple, which is not mentioned in the Bible. You believe something else. You also don't know what is the sons of God and daughters of men. And I thank God this day that God has opened our understanding, revealed these things hitherto have been closed up for centuries, and revealed now by his prophets and servants of God for his seed. You know, this book of Revelation is not for everybody. It is a love letter for the bride of Christ. Others will not understand this. If you receive a love letter written by somebody else to some other girl, you start finding you don't know what it is, what they are talking about. The language is different. Same way it is when the bride reads, bride understands, but nobody else. Those who are truly in Christ, by a new spiritual birth, not in the church, but in Christ, ever increasing in the correct and vital knowledge of the Lord and intimate relationship. Every church age, the messenger of the Lord, or to the age, was given the revelation of God for a specific period in time to meet the conditions of that age and counteract moving antichrist spirit. It is because of this truth, it is because of this hidden manner that was preserved, and it went from age to age. And that is because of that only you and I today can have this word. There's a group of people, when the Bibles have been burned, in the dark ages, I will come to that. 1,000 years of dark ages, this Bible was born, and anybody found in the Bible was put to death. And today we thank God because we have this. There was a group of people who held this to precious word, and he gave their life to that. And today you and I have this word in our hands because there were people with the courage of their conviction. There are people who went openly to the lion's den, who went to gladiators, who were killed openly, who were burned alive like lights. They stood for this word. Therefore, you and I today have this word because there was a group of people who held on to the truth. Once a messenger was enlightened by the truth, he would bring the truth to the people. You find Paul, you find Irenaeus, you find St. Martin. Every time when God enlightened them, God enlightened those people with the truth, and they bring the truth to the people to hear it, to believe it, and act on it, and thereby their lives could be changed. And those whose ears have been opened by the Holy Spirit would hear it, believe it, live it. Revelation became a hidden manna to their hungry souls. White stones. Remember hidden manna? Second is white stones. First of all, the stone is white. In the Bible, white represents righteousness, innocence and purity. White represent righteousness, innocence and purity. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. This refers to the bride. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Revelation 19:18. A stone represents Christ, the stone which the builders rejected. Right? And it is a white stone that would be given to the saints. Stone is none other than Christ. White represents righteousness. And it is, we have that very Christ in us, who is the righteousness. Paul said, the Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in me and in you is the hope of glory. So it is the Christ who is the rejected stone, the cornerstone which represents, which was builders rejected. It becomes the cardinal key cornerstones. It is a stone of our faith. Bible says we are built on the foundation of the apostles and Paul's, Ephesians 4. We are built on the foundation of the apostles of the Paul, apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. Not a church, not an organization, not a group of people, but Jesus being the cornerstone of my faith and your faith, and the teachings of apostles and prophets we are built on. True believer, this stone or true revelation of Jesus Christ is righteousness unto the unbeliever. Make believer is to offense to their religious integrity and self-righteousness. To unbeliever, Jesus is offense to their religious integrity and self-righteousness. Thus, over and over again, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, is through repentance and faith in the revelation of Jesus Christ given a white stone, a confession and profession of innocence. White stone, if you have white stone, which is Jesus Christ, it is a confession of profession of innocence. Innocence means we are justified in the presence of God. Not only white stone, he says he gives a new name. The old name testifies of old creation, old nature, old birth, born in sin through our natural parents. You know, the name that I have, you have, is given by our natural parents. God never chose that name. My name, in fact, I remember my name has been given by a Buddhist priest, not by to my parents. So, God never chose that name. But natural people choose. But this new name speaks of a new creation, a new nature, new birth. By the anointed word of God, this new name, which is now confessed, represents our new parentage, our new nature, new and righteousness, power and authority vested in the new name. You see, one thing God does sees, when he takes hold of a man, he does change. He just changed and also name. You find name was always linked to a victory. When God gives a name, it has a meaning, it has a purpose. Not like a lot of people at that time receive all these Christian names for the sake of personal gains. You know, you find today so many Buddhists with Christian names, it doesn't mean anything to them. You know, they took the names for the sake of these Portuguese, and all these benefits came from the invaders who invaded this country. Abraham was changed before God promise came to him. You remember, when God changed Abraham, he was old. But when he was changed, you know that he was bought, made young. You know, Abraham was physically made young with the name change. So was Sarah. Because they were old, but when the foreign king saw Sarah, they were so young, and that man wants to have her. Because not only the name was changed, the character, nature was changed. That's why they could have children. Jacob was changed to Israel. Simon was changed to Peter. Saul was changed to Paul. When a Lord takes hold of a man, one thing he does is, he brings a radical change in the life of that person. He will change that person for everything that he stands will be new altogether. The Lord name on earth was Jesus. Jesus means Yeshua, the Redeemer, Savior. He was on earth, he was the Redeemer, but when he conquered death and hell, and overcame them, and ascended on high, he received a new name. Now we have the name of Jesus, because there is no other name given under heaven for salvation, name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus is going to come and rule as a King of Kings, he is coming with a new name. Because there are no more people to redeem. All have been redeemed. All have been redeemed. And therefore there is no need of people to be redeemed again. And when he is going to rule, it's going to be a new name. he will have. And that name is hidden so far, nobody knows. And we will also have that new name, because we are going to be the bride of Christ, we'll bear that name. I saw heavens open. Behold the white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he made a name, and he had a name written no man knew it, himself. Revelation 19:11-13. And he was clothed with vesture of dip in blood. His name was called the Word of God. But you and I are going to witness the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name when he is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years on this very earth with his bride and the rulers and reigners of this world. When the Lord takes upon him a new name, that name will be the name of the bride also. It will also have a revelation of the Spirit given so conclusively that none would dare deny it. But no doubt he will leave that revelation to the day when he decides to give it that name to you. Do you know, every child of God who is purchased by God, who is chosen by God in his mind long before, has a name for me and for you. It is there, like that heavenly body reserved for me and for you. There's a name for me and you preserved. He will give that name to the ones who overcome, who deny the falsehood, who deny the unrighteousness, who deny the darkness, who come to the Word of God, believe and trust, walk before him in the power of his power, name. Then we come to the third church age. Now we are finished. Remember, in the third church age, he will give us a new name. He will give us hidden manna. He will give us a white stone. And that comes to each age, a group of people whom God has chosen, every one of us. And you know, today there is a denominational Christianity. You go and tell them about the original sin, you say, okay, my goodness, you are a cult, don't come here. You know, I know so many people are also telling us, you know, these people are practicing wrong religion, wrong teaching. But so far, nobody came to me to discuss about the truth. People who are telling like that. When we say original sin, when you talk about the Noah's sons, when he said what happened in the Genesis chapter 6, when he talk about the sin of Ham, it is there in the scriptures. When Jesus said, baptize every one of you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, Peter got the revelation, if he was given the keys to the kingdom. Peter said, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. In the day of Pentecost, he said, he had the keys. What were the keys? Key to the kingdom of heaven. And he says, repent every one of you, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we say that, people say, that's a lie. That's a cult. There's a wrong doctrine. Always, there's a small group of people who will trust the truth. Jesus says, the narrow is the way, few will go. Broad is the way, they will compromise the word. This is an interesting age, the fourth church age. The parable in the fourth church age, in Matthew 13, the fourth parable, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a leaven, which a woman took leaven, you know, yeast. Woman took it, hid it in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leaven. He took this bread, the meal, and then she took 3 portions of leaven and insert into the meal, and it became totally different. First time in this parable we find the mention of a woman. You know, woman stands for the children of Israel, was considered a woman whom God rejected. And they rejected God, God rejected them, and you find that they were totally lost miserably when God disowned them. So the kingdom of heaven is like unto a leaven which a woman took and hid 3 measures. Now you remember, in the first parable, the parable of the sower, the second parable of the parable of wheat and tares, the third parable of the parable of the seed, mustard seed. Now the seed is changed. It does not speak about the seed. In the first three parables, he's mentioned about the seed. Now he talks about a woman who take control of this kingdom of heaven. Now he says kingdom of heaven. He refers to kingdom of heaven. He refers to kingdom of heaven or not. And he brings here a particular woman who take control of things and begin to bring some changes to the original piece of bread which was there. And as a result of that change, we find that whole picture, whole bread is changed. No longer is original. The true church going underground. And this is the age the true church went underground. In the third church age. Church in Rome began to exert power, and she wished. Remember, I explained to you last Sunday, Constantine in AD 325, he summoned a council called Nicene Council. He got a priest, Egyptian priest, not even a Christian priest, called Arius, and created the new doctrine, which will go with the paganism, the doctrine of Trinity, was incorporated. And in fact, you remember I told you, the Antipas, who is mentioned in the book of Revelation, he was put to death because he stood for that, the oneness of God, who stood against the Trinity, and he was put to death, as records in the book of Revelation. So, by and by, state, Roman Empire, and the Roman Christian religion become a part of one. In order to rule the empire, the first church had to win the pagans. Right throughout the world, religion plays a major role in politics. You know, even today, politicians use the religion to mislead and beguile people and hold them to political beliefs. They show some religious things, and that's why we find this in this time. In order to make it much easier for people to embrace Christianity, false church is represented by woman, took some leaven, hid it in three measures of meal until the whole leaven was leaven. False Roman Christian church was woman in the parable. Woman represented in this parable is the formation of false Christianity. First, true church is a bride of Christ, also woman. False church is also woman. And here, this false organization, it is in this church age, the Christianity was formally organized as a state-sponsored religion. Until that time, it was an informal gathering of people under the Lord and His word. Now, it is constituted and formalized by the Roman Emperor. He authorized the bishop of Rome, gives him power, and whatever the bishop says is the word, even it is contrary to the word of God. And then the woman comes and tries to take some important decisions for the sake of common people. Now you know, in the Christianity, when Jesus preached, when Apostle Paul stood for, when Apostle Irenaeus and Martin stood for, the whole meal was on this. Just shall live by faith, justification. Justification, that's what Jesus pronounced. Just shall live by faith, justification. And when you are justified, only when you say repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Bible says all have sinned and come short of glory of God. If all have sinned and there is none without sin, and all in that group of people, there was an element of people who was lost to God in Adam, because He has chosen them in His mind, and those people were lost in Adam when he committed sin. And God has to redeem those people, and God has to justify them. That's why Jesus came and paid the penalty. He justified. And He took the sin. He took my position on the cross and He justified. And by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the crucifixion and the sacrificial death, that I am justified now as a son. And when I am justified, the Spirit of God comes into me with the baptism, and as a result of that, sanctification takes place. So the bedrock of the true Christianity is justification, sanctification, Holy Ghost, baptism. In all this lie the complete redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The complete redemptive work lies on this truth, this teaching, this doctrine. The Roman church had to corrupt the very bread of life that God provided for Christ. There are three important teachings, the important ingredients of the bedrock of Christ's redemptive plan, which he had for the genuine true church. And the Roman organized Christianity took that. Woman, the mother harlot, mentioned in Revelation 5, took the creeds, dogmas, rituals, hid them in the three measures of meal to rise it, making bread easier to eat. Like today, when the hard gospel is preached, people don't want. They want sugar-coated pills. She then fed it to the people who were fooled into believing that they were receiving the bread of life. It simply looked good and easy to eat. So the people bought it and ate it and believed that eternal life was in it. It was a big lie. They were eating corrupted bread. So what did he do? She inserted wrong pagan rituals into this system. What are those? You remember justification. Justification? So instead of justification, she inserted, she substituted justification with faith in the Holy Roman Catholic Church. Now no longer in justification, just shall live by faith or the sacrificial death. Instead of justification, now faith in the Holy Roman Catholic Church. If you are a Roman Catholic here, you would know what I am talking about. Teaching there is no salvation outside the Mother Church. They say anybody has moved away from Mother Church, she is finished or he is finished. Then sanctification. Sanctification, what the sanctification? Instead of sanctification, sanctification when the Holy Spirit comes and reveals the sin in you, unrighteousness, he will convict you by his Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will bring you the truth. That's what the Bible says. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead you to all truth. But what happens here is sanctification is substituted with indulgences, penance and confessions. What happens? You have a priest, you have a place, you have a confession. You confess all your sins to the priest. I remember in Vatican you have these confession boxes. Not like these boxes in this Catholic. It's totally closed. It's totally closed. You can't see anybody. He's inside. So you have to tell your sins to the priest. Hey, I did this, I did that, I did this. What you people won't tell everything, you know. Tell, they call lavata, you know, lightly, you know. Just, you know, touch and go, you know. People just say like that and the priest listened and, you know. He said, okay, you go and do this, you go and do that. You put a novena, you do this. Indulgences. That's the way you are sanctified. That is incidentally easy. People do that sometimes before Christmas, before Good Fridays, before, you know, before Easter, they do that. The Holy Spirit baptism was also replaced. She substituted the Holy Spirit baptism with Mass and confirmation. When a child becomes about 15 or 12 years and she has to be confirmed, then only she will be a candidate to receive the Holy Spirit and go to the Mass and receive the wafer, God. But the bishop comes and give a nice little slap here and you receive the Holy Spirit. Very easy. You don't have to struggle and, you know, do anything. That's the way you receive. So the woman took the most important teaching, hid it in the most, and now it is different. You remember this parable? It's not an ordinary parable. This is a small parable, but it's a big thing that happened there. She totally changed the picture of the God's true word. And even people, remember, throughout 1,000 years of dark ages, which is the Holy Roman Empire, This is what people had.
You know, you go to the history, you find the Dark Ages.
Why the Dark Ages? It lasted from a period of AD 500 to AD 6600. During this time, all the education was totally cut out. The Bible was totally thrown out. It was forbidden to hold the Bible and come to any place. If anybody was found with the Bible, you are put to death. So the church goes underground. The teachings which is taught by the organization becomes the absolute. No scientific innovations. You know, today we have all this good technology, even this kind of things. The computers, all these PowerPoints, the televisions, the aeroplanes, the automobiles, in the last 100 years. We got them in the last 100 years. That is also thankful to the New World Order. That is also, we are thankful to the next church age messenger, Martin Luther, who broke the barrier, who broke the bondage of the Dark Ages. But it is during Dark Ages, when the Holy Roman Empire ruled, there was absolute destruction. You know, during this Dark Age, I will show you. I will come to that later. So during the Dark Ages, millions and millions of people were put to death. Millions under this age. In the book of Revelation. Now remember, we also presented to you the parable. Let's go back to the message to the fourth church age. There also you find the woman. Follow closely what it says. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira wrote, these things say the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire. Now in this age, he has his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet like a fine brass. And again, he says, I know thy works and thy charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, lest to be more than the first, last to be more than the first. Again, Jesus says, I know thy works. He refers to the group of people whom God has chosen to be true to his word, who are righteous, who are genuine. He says, I know thy work, thy charity, thy service, thy faith, thy patience, thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, now remember here again, we see the appearance of a woman. Notwithstanding, I have few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and eat the things sacrificed unto idols. What did the woman do? Insert the wrong things and got people to eat. So it is the same thing what Jesus said long before he gave this revelation to the John in the Patmos. Jesus, he told what will be happen in the kingdom of heaven. He said there would be a woman who will formalize things, who will feed things to people and corrupt them. What did he do? She called herself a prophetess. So people believed. What did she do? She taught. He taught them. Seduced the servants to commit fornication. You remember, it goes from the Garden of Eden even to now. There was fornication that took place in the garden. And that very fornication now takes place in a spiritual realm. With the truth and the light. With the light and darkness. With the truth and the light. And I gave her pace to repent of her fornication. She repented not. From this age, this very organized church was given opportunity by God to repent. But she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into go into a great tribulation, except they repent. This is exactly what happened in this church age and thereafter. He said, I will cast them into a bed. Yes, now we have a bed. Organized church is a bed where people feel comfortable, and they are in a great adultery committing. And he said, I will kill her children with death, spiritual death. All the children.
The other day, somebody asked me, brother, you are telling all these things. What about these people, so many Christians, in so many churches? What will happen to them? My standard is the word of God.
God does not have middle path. He doesn't allow people to prolong. You do, I do this, you do this, let us go and see what happens.
No.
He judges Moses. He judges David. He judges Israel with so much of judgment. In one occasion I will explain to you when I teach about Matthew 24. When he brought the tribulation, the Jews will have to eat, they have to eat their own children. That is why Jesus says, be sorry for the people who are children. They ate their own children to fulfill a prophecy which was given in Deuteronomy. That tribulation they went through. He loved them, he judged them. So with the church. God will not compromise. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away. Not my word. Every word. There are about 1.2 billion Roman Catholics. 1 billion Muslims. About nearly 700 Confucius Chinese. About another 700 Hindus. All are lost. God is not responsible for that. God has given the opportunity for all to repent. They will not repent. So call even organized Christianity. Time is given for them to repent. The word of God is there. But they are eating the ones which are being polluted, which is not of God. And he says, therefore I will kill her children with death, the spiritual death. And all the churches shall know that I am which searcheth rein the hearts. Remember, he searches and rein the hearts. And give unto you according to your works. Not because your grandfather become a Christian, you are going to be having that opportunity of going to heaven according to your works. But I say unto thee, unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. He is referring to the true church. Depths of certain Satan. But that which ye have already hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He that overcometh in this church age, he said, I will give him power over the nations, and he shall rule with them rod of iron. The vessels of potter has they broken, she was. Even as I received my Father, I will give them the morning star. The promise to the fourth church age. Said, I will give them power over the nations. And I give the morning star. Brothers and sisters, the power of God is available to you and me. The very power that Paul had, the very power that Irenaeus had, very power that Martin had, and very power in the true children has, you can have it. Even tonight you can have it. It is not my power, it is not anybody else's. It is the power of the Most High. And that's why Gabriel told Mary, the power of the Almighty God overshadow thee. And that which is of the Holy Ghost shall suffer. And he has given that power to you and me. I will come to that. We are running short of time. We are still at the beginning of the fourth church age. We are to explain this, all this aspect. But I want to tell you, while the falsehood is lies, the truth is there. God has given that power to an element of people who stood by his word. And he said, I will give him morning star. What he will give you? Morning star. Bright and morning star, there is one. And he's given it to you and me. And if you have that morning star in you, the star has to shine in you, brothers and sisters. The only way that you can show that you are a Christian is to make sure that morning star rise in you and shine in you. And let it shine and shine forth in the dark and polluted world so the people can recognize not only the love of God, but the demonstration of the most holy power of God in your life, in your ways, in your behavior. That happens. Mighty things can happen in our midst. Not only healings are possible. Not only raising from the dead is possible. I must tell you, one of these days, you and I are going to witness the power of God taking place in this very place. We're going to see the glorious power of the Almighty demonstrated in the glorious fashion. Even the dead would be raised. Even the demons would be cast. And the fire of heaven will come. It's going to happen. It is not by might, no by power, but by my Spirit, says. Our God is a living God. He is a God of universe. He spoke things and things came to pass. And He made things happen. He separate light from darkness. So He is. He separate you and me from darkness, from unrighteousness, from unholiness, filthiness, and make us the morning star to righteousness. Let's pray. As Brother Ravi and Brother Sriyan comes, you are already past time. As they come here to take up your needs, I will take up the next Sunday, continue this message. And as they come to take up the needs, I know some of you have many needs, but I must tell you, one of these days you are going to see glorious things happen here, and you would look for it. It is going to happen. Again, I must tell you without a shadow of doubt, the power of God would be manifested in the midst of us. It is not through a man, but by the mighty God revealing. And as Brother Ravi comes and take your needs, complete trust in the Lord, because God has chosen you even before the foundation of the world.